Hey, it's Francis Lamb, host of The Splendid Table. Every week on our show, we talk about food and cooking and the meanings of food and cooking. We talk with the most interesting people in food about their techniques, their culture, and everything in between. Whether it's about how fried chicken took over the world or how Instagram changes the way people are actually eating. It's a food show where everyone is welcome. Come join us. You can listen to The Splendid Table wherever you get your podcasts.
Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. For more information, visit corin.com.
This week on Meat and Three, we are examining the true cost of convenience when it comes to when, where, and how we eat.
Dark stores enable workers to eat without any kind of thought to how they're getting their food or how it might have come to be.
DoorDash, Uber, and Lyft in the past have pledged to spend $90 million to try to exempt themselves from the law.
I could be wrong, but I think there's going to be significant regulatory pushback on driverless trucks.
Tune in to Meat and Three, HRN's weekly food news roundup, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hello, welcome to Japan Eats. I'm your host, Akiko Katayama, a food writer and the director of New York Japanese Culinary Academy, which promotes a deeper understanding of Japanese cuisine in America. We are broadcasting live from our studio at Roberta's in Bushwick, Brooklyn. This show is all about Japanese food and food culture. We see sushi at every deli and supermarket, but what is beyond sushi? We hear dashi maminizukaya, but what exactly are they? Japanese food is still a mystery for many people, so I'll try to demystify it in this program with my cool guests. My guest today is Arisa Suzuki Forbes, who is a specialty cake designer and cookbook author based in New York City. Cakes are often the highlight of important events, including weddings, birthdays, and other celebrations, and designing specialty cakes can be as challenging as designing a dress or making a sculpture. And Arisa works at one of the best specialty cake studios in New York City, Charles Nouvel Cakes and Confections. And Arisa was born and raised in Japan, but her passion and hard work led her to build a career here in New York City as a specialty cake designer. So today we'll discuss why Arisa chose to become a cake designer, the challenges she faced to establish her career, a design philosophy, and much, much more. But quickly, before we start, Japan Eats is available on Heritage Radio Network website, as well as on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. So please go to iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify and subscribe to Japan Eats. And please write a review. We really appreciate your feedback. Also, if you have ideas about topics of the show or show guests, please let us know. You can email us at japanneeds@heritagevideonetwork.org or kikokatayama.com. Now let's start a conversation with Arisa Suzuki Forbes. Hello, Arisa.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So, first of all, you're from Tokyo, I heard. And so what kind of sweets did you grow up eating?
So it's funny, everyone think it's funny because I don't really eat sweets so much.
Wow.
But I like sweets, of course, but I don't eat like every day regularly. So when I think about sweets, my mom used to make for special occasions, and then it's always associated with like family events.
Mm.
So like Christmas for gingerbread cookies, birthday, every birthday for myself and cousins and all those like homemade sweets style.
Wow. Yeah. But this gingerbread cookies tend to be more American than classic Japanese.
So yeah, my mom used to live in the U.S. for 2.5 years.
Oh, wow.
And then she went back to Japan and then married my dad. So she had a lot of good memories about American culture and she wanted to show it to me. So she did a lot of stuff like Easter party. It was really Americanized.
Totally.
Yeah.
If I'd ask my mom, who's like, what, Easter? Yeah, it's very non-Japanese. So that's great. So maybe that's the inspiration.
I think
initial.
So. Yes.
Right. So, and I heard that you studied art at college in Tokyo. So mm-hmm. What category of art did you major?
So the major was called spatial art. So my school let us study all kinds of art on a freshman year to know what exactly what you want to do. So I did like fashion design, calligraphy, pottery, sculpture, everything. And I did love everything. But it was hard for me to decide what I want to like for business when I was 20 because I was doing cake decorating as a hobby for a long time. And I was just so passionate about it. But there's no way I could think of that as a business in Japan because nobody was doing it. So I chose spatial design, which is kind of like interior designing. But I wasn't really like, this is it. Yes.
Interesting. So sounds like, well, I think the reason in Japan there are no cake culture, like specialty cake culture, because we don't throw many parties, right?
Well, yes, there are a lot of great cakes and pastry arts in Japan, but it's just really different culture when it comes to designers' cake. So, yeah, I didn't know what to do with my passion about cake decorating.
Yeah, it's just surprising if you go to like any corner in any town or city, you see great, special, like really just for eating, you can have any kind of cakes and sweets and cookies in Japan, like with German bakery style stuff. So, all right. And so how did you, I mean, why did you shift your direction from art to specialty cake design? Like, was any event or any reason?
Well, so I started cake decorating as a hobby when I was 14. That was also my mom's cake books that I was at home. I just got interested in, and then I was reading it and started as a for fun because I love making like creative stuff. And then I was just making for friends for so since 14 until college, and then I was kind of known for like, oh, she likes to make like colorful cakes. And then, so after freshman year, I went to, I visited my friend in Boston. She was studying music in Boston. And I saw the American pastry shops with the artistic cakes. And I found that that's like, could be a business. And then, you know, like Food Network, they're like cake competition with the artistic cake, decoration cake. And then, so I really wanted to do this. And there's a way in the States, like if I go to pastry school, like I can be a cake designer. So like that was the career change point.
Oh, wow. So that was a really the moment.
Yes,
it was. If you didn't visit your friend in Boston,
I wouldn't know.
Wow.
Or maybe it was later. Right. So.
Okay. So I'm sure you're grateful to your friend. And then she's grateful to you. Now making even better cakes. So, but how did you study making specialty cakes?
So like I said, just beginning was just self-taught, but I didn't know like English back then. So I was like using dictionary and then reading, just testing for my friends and family. And then, so I kind of started just pastry art for the really like as a beginner when I went to my school in New York.
Right. Yeah. By the way, so whose book was it that you were?
So that was my mom's. I think she got to know, you know, Wilton? It's like a cake decorating company for American people, mostly housewives. They have the book for like just fundamental decoration skills. And she collected every year. And then that was at my house. And
interesting.
It was really pretty. And then I just was so into it.
I think one of the books when I was inspired, I bought a book by Lee Bailey, and he's like a really like the figure of American style cooking. And I got his Southern style cakes, and I didn't make any of those, but I actually wrote to him how great his book was, and he responded to me.
Oh wow!
Yeah, so yeah, that was my dream about cakes in America. So anyway, so but I heard you went to the CIA. That's what you mentioned.
Yes,
the school in New York. That was like. That's the Harvard of culinary studies. Right. So you decided you just looked up which school you're going to go to?
Yeah. So my school in Japan was supposed to be 4 years, but after 2 years, I really wanted to study abroad. And I asked my parents, like, can I study abroad? Because I want to be a cake designer. And they're like, they didn't say no to me because they knew how much I was passionate about it. But they also was like, have the doubt, like how to do it, like as a career. So we searched a lot about schools, and well, CIA has degree, and then most of the chefs here, successful chefs, are from CIA. That, and then we got to know people from CIA, the Japanese people in Japan, and I got to talk to them. They helped me a lot. And so, yeah, all I had to do is just start cooking, baking, and then study English.
Wow. So you went to English school first?
Yes. So I was trying to pass the exam, English exam in Japan, but that was not enough. And then I had to learn, you know, how to speak and listen. So my mom sent me to Michigan, Ann Arbor, just to study English for half a year because there's no Japanese there.
Hey. Oh, wow. So no choice. Hey, yeah, but CIA is really, there's an aura. Like once you step into campus, it's like very high tension.
Yeah, I loved it. Like we went to see the school and I was like, I want to go this place.
It's very hard to survive. So you did So, but speaking of what was the biggest challenge that you faced at the CIA?
So even after I got into CIA, I think the English was the hardest thing for me, especially like culinary terms that I didn't know. Like, for example, like I had to learn like hundreds of vegetable names, and like you know, like even I go to a pastry arts, like everyone has to learn about vegetables, and like it was really interesting because I love cooking as well. But it's just such a different field. And but then like once we started the hands-on class, like it was more visual, so it was easier for me.
Right, because you have a solid background in arts. So so I heard that before you graduated from CIA, you made a cake by yourself and won top prizes at a reputable competition. And I also heard normally the prize would be made by a team of students. So could you tell us about the competition and why you decided to do the work alone?
So this competition has ended like a couple of years ago, unfortunately, but it was like a long history competition in New York City, Javits Center. And CIA always participate as a team. So there is a table from CIA, and the centerpiece is always the wedding cake or specialty cake. Every time it's a different theme. And then there's the chocolate pieces, sugar pieces, and then the culinary display. And when I got to CIA for the freshman year, I saw the display after the competition the student did in the food hall, and it was beautiful, and I just found out the students made it, and I was like, next year I really want to make it, because I never really made a huge cake by myself. So that, I always thought about it, and then the next year I asked my chef like if I could try that, and that was after my internship. So my cake decoration chef recommended me to go to Dean, and luckily, I got to do it.
So by doing by yourself, you can really test your skills and ability.
So that was like a challenge for myself too.
Wow. So, well, it was already hard, right? But studying CIA, so that's
Because it was like a month before the graduation. So we had a lot to study in the kitchen as well. But then I had to like work for 4 or 5 hours after class. Every day for 3 months.
Wow.
But my friends helped me a lot, like mentally.
Right. So what did you make?
So I made a wedding cake. It has a sphere inside of the cake, and then that's surrounded by a bunch of sugar flowers. So it's huge.
Right. Well, how big was it?
It's like 1 meter.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
And more, maybe, actually.
Right. Well, sounds like it's kind of, you know, it's a sphere inside, then it sounds like very hard to stabilize it.
Yes, it was something that I never seen. That's what I wanted to do. So I talked to Dean, and then, yeah, we kind of came up with this like concept, and then he let me design the rest of it. So.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you.
So while you were at CIA, you worked for the top cake designer, Ron Ben Israel, as an intern. So what did you learn from him?
A lot. Like, so we go to externship between the freshman year and sophomore year for 5 months. And then for me, that was the only place I wanted to go. And that was one of the hardest places to get into as an internship too. So I was really nervous, but I just, you know, put all my cake picture that I have done with my resume. And then luckily I got it. So there are like 4 interns, and then I learned a lot from observing whatever like the Ron and other workers are doing. And interns just do small flowers all day, honestly. But then that really helped me knowing like how to deal with the materials and, you know, tools, which is so new to me. Mm. And then he let me go to the delivery, and then I got to see the best venue with crazy parties.
Oh, you dream up.
Right? Yes, I really didn't want to leave to go back to school, but it was just amazing.
Mm-hmm. And I heard he used to be a dancer.
Yes, he used to be a ballet dancer.
Right. Interesting, right? So it's not just making a cake. It's more like an art mindset.
Yeah, he's totally artist, yes.
Right. Okay. And so after graduating from the CIA, you joined the Charlotte Novel Cakes and Confections, which, again, one of the top specialty cake studios. So how did you get the job?
So Charlotte was also an intern when I was at Ron. So we're friends to begin with. And she went to the French Culinary Institute back then. Mm-hmm. And she started her own business after. So that was after FCI, I guess. And then she started the business by herself, kind of.
Wow.
And then that's about the time that I graduated school. And then we kind of like figured out that we both can work together. And then I kind of started working for her.
Nice.
Yes.
Wow. So, okay. Well, that's interesting.
It was like perfect timing as well.
Mm. So sounds like becoming a specialty cake designer, there's no set path, right? You can start, maybe you're a dancer, you want to study.
Yeah.
And you have your own skills and it's open a studio.
I think so. I mean, well, you have to know how to bake.
Right.
That's why I went to school. But yeah, it's more like art to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, because it's so hard to imagine, right? yeah, okay. So but after that, you left New York and worked in Japan for a while. So what happened?
So I worked for Charlotte for 2 years. The first year was the OPT visa after school. Mm-hmm. And then I was going to go home because I couldn't just afford to hire a lawyer to get a visa. But she offered me to become a sponsor for me. So we tried to get the artist visa. And my lawyer told me, like, it'll be okay because I got the prize and then I got some, like, publications. And then, so we're just working while we're applying for it. But I just got a phone call and, like, got to leave in 3 weeks because nobody got the artist visa that year. And
then, wow.
Yeah, so I was like, okay. And then, but they said it wasn't, like, 100% no. I just didn't get it because I didn't have any, like, publication in Japan because I kind of started my career officially here. So if I work in Japan for a while and then, you know, become like a little bit famous, like you can come back and you can reapply or whatever. So okay, I'm just gonna like leave. I left like half of my stuff in New York City and then I went back to Japan, and like I just told my friends and family on Facebook I'm going back to Japan. And I don't know how this happened, but like a week after, I had like so many orders already.
Oh, wow.
So I was just making cakes for my friends. And then that was also a good timing in a way, because like people started interested in American sweets that time.
Mm.
Not just like, for example, like cupcakes and colorful cakes used to be a little bit like, oh, American sweets are too sweet for Japanese people. But then they're like more Instagram worthy and people started knowing about like sweets in the US.
What was the year that you went back?
To so 6 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So 13, that was 2013. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's interesting because, well, actually, I really realized that so many American food brands, including Swiss to restaurants.
Yes.
Yeah, everywhere.
And New York, especially.
Right.
Brooklyn and New York are huge, right now.
So that was a lucky timing.
Yeah, so I got to make cake. And then at the party, so many like other people saw the cake and I'm like, what is this? I never seen cake like this. Like, can I order? And then like 2 months later, I was making the window display for Omote Sando, which is like Fifth Avenue.
Oh, wow.
So I just, it was just perfect timing.
Yeah, that's such a recognition. I mean,
no, I can't believe what happened.
Right. So, yeah, it's like guaranteed next time visa application.
Yeah. Well, then, so I just had enough job to do. So to become like officially business owner, I had to have like the kitchen, not making from my house, of course. So I found a little kitchen that is, you know, certified, and I started making cakes there.
Wow.
I didn't want to go back to New York.
Right. Yeah. So was it like by yourself?
Yes, so by myself for almost 3 years, and I had an intern after that. But
wow. That's amazing.
It was a good 5 years.
Right. Well, you never know what happened. Yeah. Right. So, okay. And then you published a book too. Which is in Japanese, but it's a beautiful book. Especially the Arisa Suzuki's specialty cake and decoration.
Yeah.
Right. So congratulations. Thank and hopefully you. You're going to publish here too.
Hope so.
Yeah. All right. So let's take a quick break here. And when we come back, we'll talk about Arisa's new life as a cake designer back in New York. So please stay with us. Today's program is brought to you by Corin, a supplier of Japanese chef knives and restaurant supplies. Corin is proud of their Japanese culture and traditions, but they want you to know that their products are not just for Japanese restaurants. Their knives and tableware bring out the best qualities of food from every culture and fit into every restaurant, from French to Pan-Asian to American, and that is why they are located in New York City, where people from every country in the world come to eat. Corin's Tribeca showroom is home to the most extensive collection of Japanese chef knives in the world, including Japan. Stop by to view their exquisitely designed tableware and the rarest natural sharpening stones. They have a whole range of knife services, from repair and rust removal to reshaping and realigning. Corin is dedicated to this ideal, bringing the highest quality Japanese design to your table so you can experience the unparalleled quality of Japanese craftsmanship in your home or restaurant. For more information, visit corin.com. Welcome back. You're listening to Japan Eats, broadcasting live from a studio in Bushwick, Brooklyn. I'm your host, Akiko Tema, and my guest today is Arisa Suzuki Forbes, who is a specialty cake designer and cookbook author based in New York City. So, so you returned to New York last year.
Yes.
What happened?
So 3 years ago, I met my boyfriend, now husband, and we spent 2 years together in Japan because he was stationed in Japan as a Navy pilot. But he just retired, and then he got a job in New York City, so I came back with him.
Right. So, well, you said it's kind of bittersweet, right? Because you're so established in Japan. And
True. Yes, it is like bittersweet.
So then you return, and then now you work at Charlotte Novel Cakes and Confections again, of course.
Yes.
So what are your responsibilities there?
So we were five of us, and three other girls and I usually like work together, and everyone can finish the cake from the like baking to, you know, finish the cake decoration. But then like since we're working on a really big project, we usually kind of split the jobs, like whatever you're good at it the most or fastest. And then we kind of like switch around.
Right.
But mainly I do the decorations, also like flowers, because I made a lot of flowers back in Japan. So yeah, I mean, we just work as a team. Yeah.
So what's the difference? You know, you were almost alone in Japan, and now what's the difference?
Well, we can work on like big project. What's different? Like, because, well, I was working on big project, but like I couldn't do more than like two or three. And now like we have so many like ahead of time. We know like we're doing next year and stuff like that. And it's just so different clientele too. Yeah. So, you know, New York, there are a lot of parties.
Right. So maybe I would imagine in Japan, like I don't know, like movies or you know, windows and the kind of thing.
So Japan, I did a lot of like company events or the celebrities, and I did like TV shows, sets, like you said. that was like mostly. And then the wedding cakes thing was different. I did a lot of wedding cakes, but it's just different rules that I cannot really bring in the real cake, the edible cake, into the venue. So that was another struggle in Japan.
Oh, really?
So I had to make like full cake, which is not edible. It's just for the, you know, show.
So is that for sanitation thing?
Yeah, and also like I guess you protect the pastry chefs at the hotel or that venue.
Oh,
but they say, you know, sanitation. That's also,
right.
Know,
the union thing.
Yeah.
Wow. Interesting. So, but here it's more for like wealthy personal cakes. Or
yeah, we do, yes, personal, like, wealthy family events and, yeah, company events, celebrities, and, yeah, I think most of it is, like, also, like, fashion people, because my boss used to be a fashion designer, so we have, like, a lot of connection with fashion business.
Interesting. So it really reflects the culture surrounding cake.
Yes.
I, it sounds like it's better for you, too, to have completely different experience now.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So what's your favorite part? Well, actually, before that, let me ask you this question. So what is your design philosophy?
For cake, I think the art for me, like, is to express yourself. So I have my own style that I like. But also, like, for the cake, it's always, like, there is a client who wants a cake from me, and then there's the story behind it. So I always try to, like, talk to the client, like, what is it for? What do you really want to express with this cake? And what would be the, you know, best element to make it more memorable and stuff like that? So for me, like, cake design is, like, always kind of like teamwork with the client. I don't know if that makes sense, but...
It does.
It's not just like me expressing, you know. I take cake as a like white canvas, so like I can do whatever, but it's always like the design is always original because like there is a client who tells me what she really wants. So.
Right. So if I were your client, I would think like, say, I just want to have for my birthday. Just like,
Then I'll have like consultation with you, like, what is your favorite color? What is the theme of the party? Like, what is so special about, like, this party?
Right.
So to make it super personal and that it's, you know, become more memorable for you. So.
Right. It sounds like the more experience you have for cake making and also personal life, then you can have better cakes, I guess.
I think so, yes.
Right. Wow. Okay. And so who are... like, in generally, I don't know, who are the most difficult clients in terms of interpreting and...
Whoa, that's a hard question. For me, so this is my personal experience back in Japan. The hardest one could be, they have, like, something totally different style of, like, what I would make. But then they have this, like, I want this figurine top of the cake, which... is not my style, but I can do it, you know? So, like, it's, like, still wanted to make it look like my art, but, like, still have to talk to guys. So, it's, like, it's the hard part as well. But it's also, like, interesting part, too.
Right. Wow. So, well, probably that's a good thing for you, right? To kind of, like, push your envelope.
True. Like, I had to, like, told myself how to make figurines because there are so many people in Japan wanted to have, like, figurine on people or the... dogs and cats. That wasn't my strength, but like, yeah, I got better at it.
Interesting. Yeah, it's just like, you know, it must be very inspiring. And also, you have time limit in a way because it's still here, especially it's edible.
Yes.
And you have to plan design and you have to make a stable one, portable and all those
things. That's the hardest part, honestly. Like, you have to plan a lot. Like, we have a meeting every morning, kind of go through the week, like, every day, because it changes every day, and, like, who's making this, it has to be done by at this time, and then we're making, like, 5 cakes at the same time or something, so, yeah, you have to be on time, and it's still fresh and delicious and beautiful and not collapsing, so, yeah, it's a lot of planning.
Yeah, so far, there's no failure, no collapsing cake before?
Not that I remember.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Right. So the what is so from the beginning to the end, to get it order, and you discuss the concept, and you design, like draw things and kind of...
Yes, when I was working in Japan, I talked to clients and then asked for any picture or any material that I can get inspired of. And then I do sketch and then show it to them. And then if there is a correction, I will change it. And then I will like make the final sketch so that they can, you know, imagine how it's going to be, you know, how tall it is going to be and everything. And then I just kind of start making it.
Mm, yeah. Right. Well, I'm just curious, though, in terms of taste, actual taste, did they require some certain kind of flavors? Or it's more like...
they have options just like other cakes. Yeah, we have like different flavor of sponge cake and buttercream, or I would do any flavor. Yes. So it's like it's also like your choice, you know, one of the kind of cake, the part like if it's like your wedding, for example, like you want your most favorite flavor of your wedding cake. So.
Right. Because your guests actually eat them.
Yeah.
Right. So what's your favorite part of your job as you know, professional designer?
I would say just finishing up, like to make it actually make the final look just like the design that I did. And then also like I used to bring it to the venue and then set up and then make sure everything is okay. If something was falling, I have to fix it. But then at the same time, I see like all the decoration that for that day, you know, like they've been planning, like it just matches everything. And I like to see that. And then also if I, not always, but I get to see my clients and their like reaction is like priceless. And like, I love it.
Hey, do you have any memorable moments by the clients?
Well, a lot. But let's say when I was in Japan, I got to do a lot of like celebrity cakes. And of course, I got to meet them. That's their reaction was great too. But they also like paused, like someone made, I made this cake for, you know, her birthday or something. And then I got to see all the reaction from like, their fans on the like Instagram and stuff, and it was just so many, and then you know that was something special to me.
Right. I think again, as I said at the beginning, cake is very symbolic item at the celebration.
Yeah.
Right, so yeah, that's exciting. But what's the hardest part of your job? I mean, maybe mentally stressful or, you know.
That is, yeah, mentally, well, definitely much better now, because back in Japan, I was doing all by myself. And to me, I'm like so artist, like I'm not a business person much. So it was hard for me to price out my cake to my clients, like price out and then tell them. But you have to really like think about how long it would take for me to make a, you know, business out of it. So first part, it was hard for me to like price out.
Like everything else, right? Like any business owner, including myself, how much can you charge?
Right. Like... And then it's for your, you know, body, it's like hard.
Right. But you have to really charge the right amount, because as a business, you have to be sustainable.
Yeah. So yeah, first it was hard. I was like definitely not charging enough and I wasn't making any money. But, you know, after like 2 years, I started making profit because I kind of find out like how much, you know, I should charge for time. And yeah.
Right. Well, you have enough background and the hard work. That's
brilliant. Yeah.
Right. So what is your mission in making specialty cake?
Well, the clients, they make it more special with the cake and more memorable. To be honest, it's really simple, but, you know, make people happier. Yeah, that's my mission.
Right. And I think personally, though, I think you're changing the mindset about specialty cakes in Japan as well.
Yeah, I think so, because nobody knew the word cake designer. And yeah, so I kind of started talking. This is my job, is cake designer. And then people started saying cake designer. So it was really amazing.
Right. Or maybe more applicants at the CIAs to more specializing in the... specialty cake.
Yes, hope so. I mean, like, I get a lot of emails from Japanese younger generation. Like, I got to know about cake designer because you're on TV and stuff. Like, and then I, how do I, you know, become cake designer if I'm not studying abroad and stuff like that? I was like trying to reply everyone. Yeah, good thing and bad thing. It's just, you know, how I did in Japan, just giving advice.
So. It sounds like based on just the hard work. And when you look back, things happen.
But I think it's definitely like more popular job. I left 5 years after 5 years, but I think there is a, you know, there is this business out there. Like, I really hope like this people, you know, try to become cake designer more commonly, you know.
Right. So what's your plan?
So my plan, so I definitely want to start my own business again back here, but we don't know how long we're going to be in New York City right now.
Oh, because your husband may...
Yeah, he will change the job eventually, and we, I think we're going to live outside of the city, still commutable to the city. So yeah, so starting my own business will be like a little bit later, but I'm still like learning a lot at my work, so...
But technically, in cake making, is it kind of advancing business? Like, you know, new skills you learn, like, you know, cooking, new technique, new like pakojet, to like everything started to be more kind of, you know, technical, like machines and the stuff.
So like technique, like we have the fundamental skill. So it's interesting because I learn every time I make different cakes because it's always different theme because the clients give us like different, you know, idea. And so I'm learning every single cake and then, oh, we can do this, we can do this. So like I'm still growing, like yeah, so I'm just like trying to be able to do like more stuff before I start my own stuff.
So do you think this New York City is a mecca, like the best place to study?
Yeah, I think so, for cake design. Yes.
Right, because the more parties and talents, inspiring. How many of them here in New York? How many cake designers do you know?
Oh, I don't, there are a lot.
Yeah, like hundreds.
But there are like, you know, several famous people, of course, with a team. And yeah, but there are a lot of party as well. So we just kind of work out together.
Right. That's true.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. And so... where can we find your work and updates online?
So right now, the stuff that we're making at work is at the Chardonnay Bill Confection Instagram. And then my own stuff that I made my own wedding cake 2 months ago.
Oh, wow.
So I do my own stuff just like for fun, and, you know, on the side. And that's under Alisa Suzuki Forbes Instagram. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. What was the theme of your wedding cake?
So that was the hardest cake to make because I just had a lot of idea, but also I was busy planning other stuff, so I didn't make until a week before. but I just like simple, like elegant style, so I just incorporate with other design. It's like theme color and the flowers. And
what was the color?
It's a dusty blue and white flowers.
Hey. Wow. So I have to look up on the Instagram. All right, so thank you for joining us and good luck.
Thank you so much for having me.
So listeners, if you have any questions or comments about the show or suggestions for short topics or guests, please contact us at japanese@heritageradionetwork.org or kikwatem.com. Japanese is live at 3 p.m. on Mondays and always available at heritageradionetwork.org, iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify as a podcast. Engineer is Matt Patterson, and thank you for listening. I'll see you next week. Japanese is powered by Simplecast. Thank you for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For freshest content, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a non-profit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join HRN family by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thank you for listening.
Hey everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.